it's that holiday time of year, isn't it? The kids have broken up from school. It's sunny outside. It feels like we should be going away. We should be having a break. We should be doing something. Different people like to take different things when they're going away on holiday. If you're into camping, you need the barbecue and the tent and a mallet and lots of wet weather gear. If you're into sports, you might need diving equipment, a wetsuit, football, tennis racket, whatever it is you're into, you make sure that you take it with you on holiday. So what I really like to do when I go away on holiday is to take a really good book. Just relax and unwind and just enjoy reading something. And that's what I'd really like us to do this morning. You know, we've been back from Uganda now for 55 weeks. So it's like our anniversary weekend. So I think it was 5 years ago exactly today, we were leaving to go to Uganda. So over the past year, I've really been thinking about the faithfulness of God. And that's the title of the book that we're going to read this morning, Faithful. We're going to look back and remember how faithful God has been over the last 12 months. And it's good to write things down. In the Bible, God encouraged Moses, and it says this in Numbers 33. At the Lord's direction, Moses kept a written record of their progress. So God encouraged Moses to write things down so that the people could look back and remember what God had done. And I like to write things down. I like to keep a journal so that I can look back and remember and be encouraged at the different things that God has done. And especially over this last 12 months, I've been looking back and reflecting on the amazing faithfulness of the God that we serve. How he has been faithful to me personally. You know, we always wanted to come back and settle in Swansea. It's where Jez and I met at university here 20 years ago. And it's always been in our hearts to come back and to live in Swansea. And God has made that possible. He's just been so good and so faithful. He's provided a lovely home for us to live in. He's provided school places for our children. He's done everything that has been necessary for us to be here. 12 months ago, when we came back to the UK, my mother-in-law was really ill. She'd had a heart attack. And we have seen God be faithful to our family. And we have seen her recovery and how well she now is. God has been so faithful to us as a family. And God is faithful generally to his people. You read in the Bible how God was faithful to the Israelites as they wandered in the desert. He was faithful to Ruth, a stranger in a foreign land. He was faithful to Daniel, an exile raised up to a prominent position. Faithful to Job through all his troubles. Faithful to David when he was a shepherd boy. And faithful to David when he became a king. Faithful to 5,000 plus people who had a free lunch one sunny day when they went to hear Jesus preach. Faithful to a group of frightened people waiting in a room in Jerusalem for the fulfillment of a promise that they didn't quite understand. The pages of the Bible are ripe with the stories of those who experienced the faithfulness of God in their lives in a whole variety of ways. And that's what I want us to reflect on in our book called Faithful this morning. So the first chapter of what we see in the church is reflected in this verse in Isaiah 40. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So chapter one, I see a church that is strong. There is a deep strength that runs through this church. We're not a massive group of people. We're not large and vast in number, but there is great strength in who we are. And it's amazing when we look back over the last year and see some of the events that have been put on, events that are real quality events that you want to invite people to. You want to bring your friends. You want to bring your family. We've had a fantastic Father's Day event. We had the summer ball. There's been projects, the arts project in Portmead School. We've hosted the council on numerous occasions as they've met up here at the building during the week. We've had ladies' craft night. We had the men's golf. We've even had men's cooking. We are a load-bearing group of people.
And what we can accomplish as a group together is really amazing, isn't it? There is such strength within this church. And it's just so exciting to see and to be a part of it. And I loved hearing from Matthew last week when he took us through that Monday to Friday or Saturday calendar. And he was just sharing like all the things that go on. You know, I was like, oh, I didn't know that happened. It's amazing, isn't it? So many things are happening on a day-to-day basis. And I'm so grateful to the leadership of the church because they give us such a compelling vision, don't they? The vision of the church is a real page turner. You want to see what's coming next. You want to turn the page. Where are we going next? What are we doing? Who's coming to visit us? What are we going to put on? What's happening? What can we do in the community? The vision that flows down from the leadership of the church is so compelling and so exciting to be a part of. And the leadership team are just fantastic. Julian and Sarah, Adam and Suzanne, and the small group leaders. What a blessing to serve under their leadership, isn't it? Isn't it just great to be challenged and encouraged and loved and discipled, all under that umbrella of their leadership? And we've worked and served in a lot of churches in different countries, and what we have here in Cornerstone is amazing. We are such a blessed people. We need to thank God daily and continually for the vision and the leadership that we serve under too. And thank you for not letting us sit still, for keeping us on the move, for keeping us going and for moving on to the next thing. And we love the vision of the church, don't we? We buy into it. We want to be part of it. We are on board. It's part of us. And look at Venue 2. We've literally bought in to Venue 2. It's fantastic, isn't it? So exciting to be going on to the next part of the vision and on to the next phase. So we see a church here that is strong, and we see a God who is faithful, and he makes us strong. Our strength as a body comes and flows from our strong connection with him. What a great place to be in, a place of strength in being close to God. So a church that is strong here in Cornerstone. So, chapter 2, we see a church that is loving. And Jesus said this in John 15, "This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you." So that's a commandment from Jesus. It's not a suggestion or a really good idea or I strongly advise you to do this. It's a commandment from Jesus. So it's a non-negotiable. It's something that we have to do because he's told us to. And we see a church here that is loving and a team that rallies together and that works together. A few weeks ago, we had the New Wine Cymru conference up in Lampeter. And Jez and I have been busy in the office and liaising with Julian and Sarah and sorting all sorts of things out and getting a little bit stressful as the week of the conference was coming closer and closer, when suddenly, almost out of nowhere, a team came around us. Adam freed up time, Matthew and Beth freed up time, Teresa was up here putting lanyards in envelopes, Sean came up to help. There was a team around us. And that is love, isn't it? That is love in action, working together, all on board and all pulling in the same direction. And the conference was fantastic. It was an amazing week. And part of the reason it was so amazing was because of the New Wine Cymru new leaders, the team of new leaders who served at that conference. And they had been hosted by you guys. And what they saw in your homes, what they saw in your service to them, in picking them up late night on a Friday, in preparing food that you brought up here, in making packed lunches for them, in sitting up late with them on Friday evenings, in the wee small hours when you really wanted to go to bed, the way that you served and hosted and loved on them, they then replicated that to all those delegates at the conference. And we had so many comments about the team who served, how they held umbrellas in the rain. They washed up 250 wine glasses in a tiny kitchen that was about 1 square meter in size. They sold books, led seminars, carried cases to people's rooms. Nothing was too big, nothing was too small, and nothing was too much trouble for them to do. And they got that from you guys. That's where it came from. Your love that you showed them when you hosted them and when you looked after them, they then showed that to all the leaders across the nation when we were at that Lampeter conference. So I really want to encourage you that when we love in the name of Jesus, the impact is huge. It has a vast effect, like a ripple effect on a puddle of water. It's a blessing to more people. Robbie and Becky's wedding last Monday. Wasn't that a fantastic day? There they are, Mr. and Mrs. Meesday. I was chatting to Becky at the reception. She said, I can't believe I'm Mrs. Meesday. She's so excited. It's lovely. And their marriage is a great blessing for them as a couple. It's a blessing for their family. It's a blessing for us as a church and as the wider community. Such excitement on that day. It was a fantastic day. And I've seen a few nervous grooms at weddings. I've seen a few anxious brides. I've seen a few overexcited and hyperactive bridesmaids, but I have never seen such an excited mother of the bride as Becky's mum. Oh my word. Did you see her? When she came into church, she was like, I've done it. She's here. I'm so excited. Bring it on. Let's get on with this day. She was so excited. It was just wonderful. It was infectious being around her. She was so chuffed for Robbie and Becky because their marriage, it has a ripple effect. Their love has a ripple effect on the wider family and on us as a church. It's great for them, but it's great for all of us. A couple united under God's love and protection is a blessing for everyone, isn't it? So we can all share in their joy. And this love that we see in the church is not just the church small here, but the church big across Wales. A love and unity across Wales that is so amazing to see. Again, at the New Wine Conference, leaders from different denominations and different churches sitting in the same room, listening to the same teaching, all worshipping, all standing together. Such unity. It has to be God, doesn't it? Even the IT and the media department at the university couldn't believe it when I said, oh yeah, we're all different churches, all different denominations. He was like, really? Really? But you do things differently, but you're all here together. And they were really surprised. And it's just amazing, that sense of love and that sense of unity in a small form in our church here and in a bigger form in the big picture right across the nation. And every couple of months or so, Julian sends out an e-bulletin to all the supporters and everyone in New Wine Cymru. And this is what he's just written for this month. There is every reason to be encouraged and full of faith with all that is happening across Wales right now. From the many finding faith in Cwmbran to reports of young people and individuals becoming Christians in various locations. This is a season of new openness to the gospel. It's an opportunity to put on a confident and ready mindset to take the initiative and share the message of Jesus, share our stories, offer prayer for healing, and make the invite to meetings or events. We are in a season where people are wanting to hear more. Like Julian said this morning, stop me if you want to. No, carry on, carry on. I want to hear more. People are interested. They are wanting to know. This season of love and unity that we see flowing across the nation overflows in a love and an openness and a drawing closer of people who don't yet know Jesus. What a fantastic opportunity. So let's take those leaflets and those flyers, the seven wonders of the world or whatever it was called. Let's take them and invite people. Let's step into this opportunity and seize the moment and seize the day, because people are ready. Their hearts are open and they want to be part of it in our generation. It's a fantastic opportunity, isn't it? And this sense of unity we also have when we meet together in our small groups, And we've had a great time, haven't we, Sue, in our small group discussion on the What on Earth Am I Here For series. The four of us, we just really enjoyed each other's company. I really looked forward to Tuesdays. Great. I can hang out with Sue and Julie and we can chat and watch a DVD and have a cup of tea. And it was really good, the sense of unity and the Sunday night prayer meetings, the worship nights that we have together, the things that we do together, going to Knoll Park for a picnic. Well, that was great fun, wasn't it? Especially when Kieran got that massive catapult and started shooting water balloons onto the rounders field. It's good to be a part of a loving team. And now that the charity shop is coming on board as well, I enjoy being part of a team who are my friends anyway. I would choose to hang out with those ladies. We really like each other. We want to be together anyway, so it's great that we get to work together. And this unity is a prayer prayed by Jesus 2,000 years ago, that they might be one as we are one. And Jesus was talking about himself and his Father God, because unity is such a precious treasure. It's so precious and so close to the heart of God, that he says, your unity is just like the relationship that I have with my Son. That's how special our unity is. It's amazing, isn't it? And it's a demonstration of love. So we see this church that is loving and a God who loved us first. We love because of him. Okay, doing all right? Chapter 3. God is faithful in the challenges. When it's tough, we know that God is on our side. And I've shared good things and positive things and encouraging things, but there have been plenty of challenges along the way as well. There have been difficult things and hard and trying situations. But God uses those difficult things as well. And the scars that we have bear testimony to God's work in our lives. So the hurts that we bear when we have come out of a difficult situation, they show and testify that God is at work within us. Just look at Paul. Look at some of the things that he went through and the way that he expressed his feelings on this. He said, if we could have that slide, that's it. Paul was pressed on every side, but not crushed. He was perplexed, but not driven to despair. So Paul felt like things were closing in on him. This is too much, Lord. I can't bear it. But he wasn't crushed, and he wasn't despairing. Paul was hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Paul was knocked down, but not destroyed. And sometimes we feel that we are hunted down and knocked down, but we know that God never abandons us. We can never go through things where God is not a part of it, where he isn't there. Because Paul went through all these trying, challenging situations, but God was always on his side. And this is what Paul went on to say in 2 Corinthians. All praise to God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too. So God is there alongside us to comfort us and help us and see us through the challenging times. And when people look at us and see the scars of the hard times that we've been through, that bears witness to the faithfulness of God. That is a testimony of God's hand upon our lives and the fact that he is always with us. Because Jesus has scars, doesn't he? He also has scars, a reminder of what he went through. Now, Jesus suffered, he died on the cross, he went down into the grave, and God brought him back to life. But he kept the scars. Now, why didn't God heal the scars? He could have made Jesus' flesh pure and perfect. He could have brought back a risen Saviour with no scars at all. That wouldn't have been difficult, surely. Having already done the really hard part of raising him from the dead, why then leave the scars? The scars are Jesus' testimony as well. And when we come to God and say, look at my hurts, look at the scars that I have, Jesus says, I understand. Look at my hands. I have them too. I know what you've been through. I know what you're going through. And I understand. And God points to his son and says, look at Jesus. Seeing our hurts helps others to see God at work in our lives. And often when we are going through a challenging time, that's when other people who don't yet know Jesus are watching us so closely to see how we respond and to see how we react and to see if this God we serve is truly faithful, if he is truly real, and if he will help us through the challenging times. And he always does, because he is a faithful God. A few weeks ago in Little Rascals, I was sitting in the office when Evie Brown came running in. I was like, hi Evie, how are you doing? How's your day? I've got a poorly knee. And she proceeded to, you know, show me. She's fallen over in the playground. She's bumped her knee. She couldn't wait to tell me all about what had happened. In fact, she told every single person in the office all afternoon about the hurt and the poorly and the thing that had happened to her. It's natural, isn't it, for children to share what's happened to them. We all have things that happen to us. That's a part of life. We don't welcome them. We don't ask for them, but they happen. It's what life is like. And it's okay to share the things, the challenges, the struggles. It's okay for others to see what's happened to us. When we share, we can find help and healing. Because every person that Evie approached with her bad knee said, oh, that's okay, it'll get better soon. Do you want me to kiss it better? You'll be all right. She found help and healing and support when she showed the wound that she had had. And a wound or an injury always prompts a question, doesn't it? If you see someone with their arm in plaster, you wonder, oh, what's happened? What have you done? A scar or a wound prompts a question. And people may say, I've been there too. I've experienced that too. I remember in our first year in Uganda, we went through some very challenging situations that were very difficult for us. And we would cry out to God and say, God, we are so far away from our family and from our friends. We don't know how we're going to get through this. But God was faithful. And we received advice and wise counsel from good leaders here. And we walked through a very, very challenging situation. And just as we were coming out of the other end of the situation, we encountered another couple who were going through almost exactly the same thing. So as they were on their journey and progressing through their difficulties, we were able to pass on the advice that we had received and to help someone else out of the hurt that we had had. We were then able to encourage another couple to walk through and to keep going. And it was a really humbling experience to be really living out those verses that Paul said, that we were brought alongside someone else who was going through hard times so that we could be there for them just as God was there for us. And we saw that verse really working out in action. And it was a very humbling experience. So the troubles that we've had, they're part of our testimony. They're part of who we are. They're our God stories that we can carry with us wherever we go this summer. And like a really good book, you want to share it, don't you? If you've read a good book or seen a good film, you don't want to keep it to yourself. It'll go on your Twitter feed. It'll be your status on Facebook. You'll bring it into work and say, oh, you've got to read this book. It's really good. Or have you been to see this movie? I really recommend that you go and see it. So our God stories, the testimonies, the things that God has done in our lives are for sharing. We can lend out our God stories for the benefit of other people. We can share them with others. And God's faithfulness fuels our faith. We can throw ourselves onto God's faithfulness, knowing that he will catch us, that he will be there for us, that no matter how pressed we feel, that we won't be knocked down but not destroyed. We will be pressed, but we will not be crushed. We may be perplexed and not understanding, but God says, you will not be driven to despair, and I will never abandon you, and I will always be with you. So God is always there for us. I've lost page 6. Okay. God is faithful. Chapter 4, okay, last chapter. Doing all right? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So we see a church that is moving. Jesus is building the church. The church is being built by him. The gates of hell don't move, but we do. We are the ones who are moving. There's nothing for us to be afraid of. The church is a living body, vibrant, full of life and moving, being built up by Jesus. And looking back over the past year, how we've been encouraged, it seems to have been a theme over the last few months especially, of telling our testimony and of sharing our God stories with others. And all stories are important to God. The unfolding of our lives is important to God. He sees what we do, and he delights in us. A couple of weeks ago, our daughter was in the school production of Oliver, and she was in the junior chorus. So she was a small part in the junior chorus. But to me, she was the most important member of the cast. I wasn't looking out for the seniors. I wasn't looking for the main characters. I really wasn't interested how they sounded or if they delivered their lines. All that mattered to me was this little girl in the junior chorus, because she was the one that I was looking for. And that's how God sees us. We may think, oh, I'm only in the chorus. I've only got a small part to play. But God is like the parent in the audience. He is looking for the part that we're playing. He is always looking out to see, what's she doing? Where's he going? What are they doing? He is watching out for what we're doing. And God sees our lives, and everything in our lives is important. Everything is important to him. And it is good to write down and to remember the things that God has done, because it encourages us and we can share them with others, and our stories are important. A few weeks ago, it was the air show, and we were on Caswell Beach, and we saw the red arrows flying overhead. If any of you saw them, it's amazing, isn't it? What they do, the tricks and the stunts and everything they do. And what impressed me was that you can see them. Like, we weren't at the air show, we were just at Caswell Beach, but we could still see what was going on. And it's like that with our stories, our testimony. They can be something that is in the sky. Our stories are there, out in the world, out in the open, in front of our friends and family and colleagues, so that they can see what God has done in our lives. Just as we can see the red arrows for miles around, so people can see God at work in our lives as we share our stories with them and as we sow the seed. And we never know what the seeds will do. We never know what's going to bear fruit. So we just need to be brave and bold and to put it out there and to put it in the sky, to tell our stories and leave it to God to do the rest. You know, other people might look at a situation and think, oh, that was lucky, wasn't it? But we know, no, that was God. Like when Sean had some Spanish visitors a few weeks ago and one of them, the daughter had an injury and they went to the hospital and there was a Spanish-speaking nurse who looked after them. Oh, that was lucky, wasn't it? No, that was the faithfulness of God. A couple of days ago, Jez came up to unlock the building and the fire alarm started going off. He didn't know how to switch it off and suddenly Gary appeared. Oh, that was lucky, wasn't it? No, that was the faithfulness of God. It's the faithfulness of God in apparently small things, because even the small things God is bothered about and he cares about. A couple of weeks ago at Small Groups Together, I had a picture of people getting ready and dressing for the sun. But they weren't heading to the beach. They were coming up here to the building. And they were preparing themselves and they were ready and they were coming up here. And it was like the building here and the presence of God was shining and was the light in the community. So I saw people around putting on their sunglasses and sun hats, not going down to the Gower, but coming up here to the building. Because the church is the light in the community and people are attracted to it, even if they can't explain why. The presence of Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit here means that when people come here, when they come to an event, when they join in with something that we do, they feel at home and they feel the presence of God. And something about the sun is that when you've been in the sun, people notice, don't they? That you can tell by someone's skin. Maybe they've got a nice tan or they're glowing. And when we've been with Jesus, people notice. We glow with his presence. And our testimonies, they're like our suntan, aren't they? That's what we wear. We wear the testimony of, look what God has done. Look what our faithful God has done in my life and in the life of my family and in the life of our community and my workplace and my church. Our testimonies are like our tan, something that people can see. Now, the one problem with our summer here and the sunshine and the weather is that the sun goes in, isn't it? We know that this isn't going to last. This summer will come to an end. But the light and the glory and the presence of Jesus is not seasonal. He's not there for a season and then he goes in for 9 months and then he might come out for a couple of weeks the following year. Jesus isn't seasonal. His light, his presence, his glory is here all year round. So we can always be dressed for the sun. We can always be ready with our shades and sun hat to spend time in the presence of Jesus. And it's something that we can share with those around us and enjoy as we journey with him and as we move on with him. And as we grow in our faith. And I'd like to end with a picture of the new building of Venue 2. Do you see there on the ground, it says ahead only. That's the direction that we're going, isn't it? We are a strong group of people. We are loving. We are the church in action. We have challenges, but God is with us. And he is faithful. And this is the direction that he leads us. He leads us ahead only, forwards, on into the next thing. Keep turning the page. The next piece of the vision is unfolding. God will be faithful to us in this week. He will bless us with more stories that we can use to share with other people. And the great thing about our testimony is that it's our testimony. Someone can't argue with you and say, oh, I don't think that's theologically sound, or oh, you haven't said that with very long words, because it's personal to us and it comes from our hearts. We can share our personal experience with God and our personal experience of what Jesus is doing in our lives. It's irrefutable. You can't argue with someone's experience and their personal testimony. And God is faithful. and he leads us on. So the next chapter of all of our books, I think it's called Ahead Only.